Prologue. I was deep in my thought and surrounded by the smoke of my cigarette when an irresistible impulse gripped my brain and my soul. I had to see him. I carefully chose my dress, a sheath dress whose length allowed the lace of the hold-up tights to become visible, and went out into the sticky air of the midsummer night. He was sitting at his usual bar table, melancholically sipping his drink. "Can I have a light?" I asked him, the unlit cigarette between my lips. The flame lit up my face and ignited not only the aromatic stick, but all my senses. Our respective fantasies rose, flew high, to end up on a bed, between fresh sheets and languid caresses. Then we came back to reality. "Thank you," I said carelessly, moving away amid clouds of smoke exhaled in the humidity of the night. Leaving a man in the throes of desire makes me feel victorious. I come home with a strange taste in my mouth. I almost feel like I can sense the rancor and resentment he feels for me. And usually it makes me feel good. But not that night. That night I lost. I still had his eyes printed in my mind. I retraced my steps, took him by the hand without uttering a word. The urge to possess him and let him possess me was too strong to reach a bed. We conquered a dark corner of the street and let our senses run free. When I emerged from the dullness of my senses, which I had to thank for being due to a pleasure rarely experienced at other times, I realized that he was no longer there. He had disappeared. I was alone in the darkness of the night. The roar of the waves could be heard distinctly in the silence. In the distance, the sound of the siren of a ship approaching the port. On my skin, sticky with moisture, I could still smell his skin. I smelled it with pleasure and found in me the present memory of the passion that had overwhelmed us. I got up. I rearranged the crumpled dress with my hands, and rocking on my stiletto heels, I reached the square, illuminated by the languid light of the street lamps. I stretched my pace. I couldn't wait to reach the bed. I was exhausted. I entered the darkness of the alley on my right and climbed the steps leading to the door. I had finally arrived. I only took off my shoes, and then, without even undressing, I fell asleep on the sheets. I was awakened by the repeated ringing of my cell phone, which rang inside my bag at the foot of the bed. The morning light had flooded the room, and I had to squint to avoid being dazzled. I remained motionless in bed, heedless of the sound. I already knew who it was, and I had no intention of moving even a muscle to hear that voice. I turned on my side and smiled smugly. Chapter 1. Monday, Red, Envy. August was ending, taking with it the memories of summer and vacation. The day was clear, and it would be hot, even if, in Rinconati, a town perched on a hill facing the Adriatic and a short distance from it. It was difficult to suffer the heat even in the middle of summer. A fresh north wind or mistral winds swept the streets and squares of the town all year round, making the atmosphere pleasant in that season, much less so on gray winter days. The imposing statue of Lepardi cast its shadow right at the little table of the bar in the square where I, known to everyone in town as Emanuela la Capricciosa, was having my breakfast, a croissant with chantilly cream and cappuccino with a nice sprinkling of cocoa. That shadow was reminding me and all the other inhabitants of what Rinconati was known for all over Italy, and perhaps all over the world. Usually a beautiful and lonely 40-year-old woman needs only a gesture to attract even the shyest of men to her. But not in that native wild village, where everyone knows everyone's life, death, and everything in between. I would have turned 40 the following year.